I'm wacko, I'm wacko, ain't no doubt about it. Shot a man there in the head, but can't talk much about it. He's trying to shoot me, but it took too long to aim. Anybody in my place would have done the same. I don't start fights, I finish fights, that's the way I'll always be. I'm wacko, I'm wacko, you best not mess with me. Joe Jamel said I was like a flying buttermilk. Trapped in a wacko bottle, I was bound to get killed. Darge Jamel said, Billy, Houston's where you need to be. If you're going back to Waco, you're leaving without me. It's nice to be important, more important to be nice. If you're shooting dice in Waco, you'll roll snake eyes every time. Dick DeGarin took my case and didn't charge a thing. He said Waco bells would be easy to unring. Willie Nelson, Bob Duvall, and Logan V2 stood right up for me the way they always do. I'm damned if I don't, damned if I do. I'm a wacko from Waco, I'm telling you the truth. I was born in Corsicana. They said, Billy, can you do it? I said, of course I can, just point it out and I'll get right to it. Corsicana, Texas, has been real good to me. They knew I had to shoot that man before that man shot me. I should have known the truth would finally set me free. I guess living down in Waco made it wacko out of me.
Wacko from Waco is still on the run. A writer, a singer, a son of a gun. Don't cross him, don't boss him, stay out of his way. And don't give him no trouble, cause you'll just make his day.
I'm damned if I don't, damned if I do. I'm Wacko from Waco, I'm telling you the truth. I'm damned if I don't, damned if I do. I'm Wacko from Waco. You finally heard the truth.
You go, boys and girls. Wacko from Waco. And that was Billy Joe Shaver and Willie Nelson. How about that? Hey, it is, what is it today? The 18th, April the 18th, 2016. I can't believe it. This month is gone, man. It's gone, gone, gone. And it's, April the 18th. And we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana. 46581. That's where you send your donations, cash, check, or money order. Yes, and if you can use our new, we're trying out new, not PayPal, but other systems, so we don't have that quite figured out, I don't think, yet. So, you know, just cash, check, or money order, and we'll get it. Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful day here in Indiana. It's Yesterday was beautiful, too. The trouble with beautiful days is I got to do all my honey-dew working and mowing the yard and trimming the hedges and painting the fence and doing all that kind of stuff. And I get worn out, man. Do you know about that old house here, the one I'm living in? This is a 60 house, a prefab house from the lumber company. So this is one of those real, this old house.
This old house once knew my children, this old house once knew my wife. This old house was home and comfort as we walked the stones of life. This old house once rang with laughter, this old house heard many shouts. Now she trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer, ain't they gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles, ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges, not to mend no window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer, I'm a-getting ready to leave the same. This old house is a-getting shaky, this old house is a-getting old. This old house lets in the rain, this old house lets in the cold. Oh, my knees, I'm getting chilly, but I feel no fear of pain, cause I see an angel peeking through a broken window pane.
Ain't you gonna need this house no longer, ain't you gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles, ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges, not to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer, I'm getting ready to meet the same. This old house is afraid of thunder. This old house is afraid of storms. This old house just groans and trembles when the night wind flings its arms. This old house is getting feeble. This old house is needing paint. Just like me, it's tuckered out, but I'm getting ready to meet the saints.
Ain't you gonna need this house no longer? Ain't you gonna need this house no more?
Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges, not to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer, I'm getting ready to meet the same. Now my old hound dog lies asleep and he don't know I'm gonna leave. Else he'd wake up by the fireplace and he'd sit there and howl and grieve. But my hunt days are over, ain't gonna hunt the coon no more. Gabriel Dunn brought in my chariot when the wind blew down the door.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer, ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles, ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges, not to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer, I'm getting ready to meet the same.
Ready to meet the same.
Yeah, well, this is the second old house on this quarter mile here I've lived in. And the fortunate thing is this old house has got inside plumbing. The other old house is about a block away, but they tore it down. That was an old Sears Roebuck prefab. But it had an outhouse, so I had two houses there. Sometimes somebody will come driving by and they'll say, I'll be out in the front, and they'll say, where are you from? I'll say, well, I'm from right up there on that hill a block away. That's where I started out when I was about, 12, I guess. 1949. Yeah, I'd be standing up there on that hill, yeah, with my outhouse in the back with no inside plumbing. We did have an electric pump, though, so that helped us out a little bit. Cooked on a kerosene stove. How about that? You ever cooked on a kerosene stove? Well, I got two new signs out front. Well, one's new. The other I've had up there about a week, I guess. And anyhow, it says, white lives are more important. Matter more. Yeah. And the other sign says, fuck NATO. What the hell are we doing spending all that money in Europe? Occupying Europe. Those armies, U.S. armies, are not there to protect Europe. Those armies are there to make sure Europe doesn't get a little more nationalistic or whatever. And so that's coming on. So, well, borrowing millions of Chinese dollars to keep that standing occupation army in Europe. So I say, fuck NATO. I think the main thing that scares the shit out of them is that that old Germany might do it again. They did it again, then they did it again, and maybe they're going to do it again, but not with that bitch Merkel. That's unbelievable that she's gotten away with this shit of bringing all these people into Europe. Well, I'll tell you what, maybe they're keeping that occupation army there so when they fill Europe up with non-whites and Europe becomes a third world area of the world, maybe once they do that, they'll want to protect those people in case somebody might want to chase them out of there. What do you think? I can't possibly believe NATO's there to protect white people, or at least the right-thinking white people. You know, I got a good neighbor across the street, good neighbor, had a couple little kids when we first moved back here from California, and they were waving and all the time and riding their little motor scooters around in the field across the street, and always real friendly. But you know what? Soon after they started school, that all quit. They don't say hi anymore or nothing. And the boy's about in his teenage, he must be in high school, a senior maybe this year. And I see him go by, but he won't say hi at all. So you see what public education's doing to white kids? They don't have a chance. You wonder why they're all screwed up? They don't have a chance in these schools. They're brainwashed from word go. And even though their parents may know the score, they will not brook this opposition with, correct speech. They won't go against correct speech. They're too damn chicken shit to raise the kids right or at least get them started and have them read some things other than what they're reading in school. So any of you people think that these schools are going to straighten out any white kids to where they might do something or for the white race, for the white race, forget it. Once this public education gets them and the churches, they're through. That's it. Only very few survive that stuff. So how's it all going to come out about in the end? Well, Mother Nature will educate them. Yeah, if you don't listen, you'll have to feel. And Mother Nature's got some lessons for you. That's right. And if you don't listen, you're damn well going to feel, and they're going to feel, and there's nothing much you can do about it if you haven't done it already and tried to educate your kids a little bit. But I think that Mother Nature is the best teacher, and when she gives you a lesson, you know you've had a lesson. That's right. I see the farmers are all out there raising the hell out of wheat and soybeans and everything so they can sell it to third world countries to keep non-whites alive so they can figure a way of getting over here. And the farmers are over-fertilizing and so forth. They're wearing out the land. And you can't just keep heavy farming and fertilizing and chemicals without destroying the land. And look what happened in the South with King Cotton. They ruined the land in many places. And then they cut down all the trees. And then they brought their black plague in. That was real smart. Our race has been fucking up for a long time, and now we're going to pay. No way out of it. We're going to pay. You notice how the earthquakes are getting to be many more? And now there's some earthquakes, smaller earthquakes here in the United States, but big earthquakes in other places. You think those big earthquakes are not going to happen here? Mother Nature don't care what you call your land. You can call it the United States of America all you want. But if Mother Nature says, I think we ought to shake things up, she's going to shake things up. And we're way overdue for a big one. And, of course, all this over-drilling for oil and stuff and gas, it's helping it along. How about that? Hey, I watched a pretty good movie. In fact, a very good movie with Mel Gibson. You might have seen it. It's not a brand new movie. It's an older movie, but it's called Payback. And Payback is one hell of a movie. He's a lone wolf, and somebody owes him money, and he's going to get it back. And so you can download it off the internet, and I think you can get it with Netflix or Amazon or one of them. Payback, watch it. That's a perfect lone wolf. Was that Hollywood racist meeting of the NSM and KKK? Was that this weekend? You know, I got to thinking about that. And I said, you know, they should have been up in New York City. Everybody that was demonstrating was in New York City. Now, if the Hollywood Nazis and the Let's Go Out in the Woods Klan would go on up there to New York City, they could really show us what they got. I think that would be great, because you're going to meet out in the woods someplace. Nobody gives a shit. And all the opposition that normally would be trying to crash your gate and beat the shit out of you, they're up in New York City trying to beat the shit out of, who are they trying to beat the shit out of this time? I don't know. Donald Trump. They're after Trump. Trump's getting more publicity for racism than the Klan has in the last 20 years. Well, here's something that's interesting, I guess. If Jesus Christ were living in today's world where terrorism is a real threat, well, of course, terrorism was always a threat throughout man's history, would he allow the killing of Islamic State ISIS militants? Remember one thing, ISIS is true Mohammedism. That's the true stuff. It's not a fake. It's not an add-on. It's not a recreation. It's the fundamental preachings of Mohammed in action. Anyhow, the answer would be yes, as far as this Christian militia fighter is concerned. There's some non-white guy running around over there. In a recent interview with BBC News, Rafian al-Khaldini, the head of the 100,000-member Christian militia group known as the Babylon Brigade, said, wait a minute. Sorry, I got interrupted there. You just can't turn this damn article on. They're getting pretty slick, these guys, now. Well, anyhow, this guy's got a 100,000-member Christian militia group known as the Babylon Brigade, like I said, which really means he's probably got about 1,000 guys, and half of them are not worth a shit. He said while Jesus Christ taught about mercy and compassion, well, he couldn't have done that because he didn't exist, you dumbass. Wielding the sword to end the lives of these jihadists would have been acceptable to him given the various atrocities they have committed. Well, what about the Christian atrocities against the Muslims back in the day? You seem to forget all those trips to the middle to the Holy Land trying to rescue the burial plot of the baby Jesus. Remember all that? Kildani said he has personally killed several members of this group. Oh, ISIS. He made it clear that his group's primary mission is to prevent the ISIS from advancing further and taking more territory in Iraq. Well, I don't know what to say about that. Whatever you want to take is, doesn't bother me a bit. That's not my country. That's not my area. That's not for me to say. What Islamic State is doing to the Christians is terrible. Well, like you said, you're killing them too. They are the devil, Galani said, as quoted by the Gospel Herald. There's one of the biggest lies in history about the devil. He doesn't exist either. I know the Bible says that if you get hit on one cheek, you should offer the other. Well, that's what it says. But we have really good defense forces now. No one is going to do anything bad to Christians. Want to bet? Especially Christians. Christians like to kill Christians, you know. Some of the Christians had their homes taken over. I have personally been to those houses to tell the new people living there to get out. Well, would Jesus do that? Christian suffering is over, he added. Well, this guy's something else. When asked about how he would reconcile his militia group's actions to the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, Kalani answered, well, check that out with the Pentagon. They're sure killing a lot of people. No, he didn't say that. He should have. We have to fight. We have to defend ourselves. Jesus himself told us that if you don't have a sword, you should go out and buy one. So I went out and bought me 500 machine guns. Yeah. Those people shouldn't be allowed to have anything but baseball bats. The militia leader even used the Bible quote from Luke 22:36 to justify his group's actions, just like everybody else. The Bible told me to do it. If you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, if you don't have a machine gun, sell your cloak and buy one. Some theologians interviewed by the BBC, however, said that this verse should not be taken literally. Sounds pretty literal to me. Thousands of Christians have already suffered at the hands of ISIS since 2014. Well, they're suffering at the hands of the Muslim religion. That's it. That's the pure, unadulterated Muslim Muhammad religion, ISIS. The rest of them are all fakes. Members of the terror group have been torturing, raping, killing Christians, and taking over their homes in the Middle East. Well, that's what the Quran tells them to do. Kill all the infidels. Syrian Orthodox Church leader, Patriarch Ignatius Ephraim II, that tells you a lot about him right there, revealed that at least 230 citizens, including scores of Christians, were recently kidnapped by ISIS from the town of Qataen in central Syria. What would they want with them? Ephraim reported some Christians were killed while attempting to escape, while some were killed for breaking the terms of their dehimimimimi contracts, which require them to submit to the rule of Islam. Well, there you go. That's what you're supposed to do. And if you ain't got the balls to do it, then you better beat feed it out of there, man. Go to Europe. Angela Merkel wants you to come over to her house. Come on over here, boys. Achtung, come to my house. And I will give you... Wow. The news gets more insane every day. I don't know. How can people get any stranger than they are already? And don't forget, if you're going to fight ISIS, you sell your purse and buy a tank. Here's another one. Middle Eastern Christians fighting back. I thought you're supposed to turn your other cheek. What the hell's that? Forming biblical brigades to fight the ISIS. According to the Christian Times, Middle Eastern Christians in Iraq are fighting back by forming their own Christian militias, like the one we just told you about. Well, that's... I don't know, but all I read about Jesus, he didn't seem to represent that kind of action. Well, the Black Ku Klux Klan is spreading out, man. They're gaining power all over the place. A Black KKK group fighting has renewed in the southern port city of Marco as military officials of the Somali National Army and the Amazon troops are making peace efforts to end the tribal hostility. Well, you'll never end that. Hundreds of residents fled their home in Marco Town when two armed Black KKK militia fighters have engaged in a fierce gun battle at several villages in the city, which serves as the regional capital of Lower Shabli region. I have no idea what he's talking about or where this damn place is, but they got the Black KKK there. SNA and Amisom commanders in the city are holding separate meetings with local leaders, elders, to convince both warring sides to stop firing, come to the negotiating table to iron out differences. You know, you realize we're negotiating bullshit all over this world 24 hours a day? Marco, a seaside town in southern Somalia. Oh, that's just 110 kilometers southwest of Somali capital, has fallen to Somali and AU troops in 2012 after pushing al-Shabaab militants out of the city following an army offensive. Well, you know, we got, I think they said there was 10,000 of those Somalians were put down here about 50 miles from me in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I know there's a whole bunch of Somalis. They spread them out all over the country. Yeah, these people are really going to help our civilization here, going to help it self-destruct. They think this is just being a nice guy bringing all these Somalians into the United States. Oh, shit. That's like bringing all those, what were those kung fu people from Vietnam? We had paid them to fight on our side, and then we brought them over here. The Hmongs. They didn't even have a language when they came here. They had to make them a language at San Diego University. Boy, we're really doing great things to ourselves, man. This is interesting. Enough of the email, said Senator Bernie Sanders in the Jewish Brooklynese, while turning to Secretary Hillary Clinton during their first debate on October 13, 2015. Sanders won loud applause for what seemed a gentlemanly gesture in withholding criticism for her use of a private email server for classified information. But when Sanders said, quote, "The American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails," unquote, I had a flashback to a House hearing 3 decades ago on large liberties taken with the law during the Iran-Contra affair. Remember that? Ronald Reagan should have been impeached and put in prison for his role in that. And all the people like Oliver North, those people? Yeah. Beginning his testimony, then Secretary of State George Shultz made the mistake of saying, in effect, "Who cares about laws being violated? The American people are tired of hearing about Iran-Contra." Yeah, they sure are. No, the problem is they don't give a shit. It's not that they're tired of hearing it. They don't care. That Ronald Reagan was criminally liable for what he did in the Iran-Contra war and in Central America and Oliver North and flooding the cities with cocaine and heroin using the CIA. Remember that? So when the people of color bitch about it, they've got a logical position. Representative David Obey, Democrat Wisconsin, was quick to respond, quote, "Mr. Secretary, I did not take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States until I got tired." Well, we intelligence professionals also took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's a joke. It's been a joke ever since the Civil War and before. Against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and you know who that is, you and me, white racial separatists, we're a domestic enemy. There was no "until we got tired" or even "until we retired" in that oath. It has no expiration date. Well, you're just blabbing to hear yourself blab, because nothing ever changes. Congressman Obey's persistence and tenacity offer a model for patriots. I hate that word. Don't ever call me a patriot. It's so misused and prostatized that it's ridiculous. It's been 6 months since Sanders' magnanimous gesture let Clinton off the hook for playing fast and loose with laws passed to protect classified information. Of course, she lied, and she's guilty of all kinds of stuff. During subsequent debates, everything but the kitchen sink has been hurled at the candidates, but there has been little appetite for asking Secretary Clinton what she thought she was doing and why she decided to ignore security standards. The reason she often gives is because she liked her BlackBerry so much. Does not withstand close scrutiny. While mainstream media have largely avoided the issue, of course, the corporate media, what did you expect? They love those people. It did get mentioned during the March 9th debate in Miami. Longtime news anchor and noticiario Univision, George Ramos, asked Secretary Clinton whether she would quit the presidential race if she were indicted for putting classified information on her private email server, and she replied, "Fuck you, spick." No, she didn't. She said, "Oh, for goodness sakes, it's not going to happen. I'm not even answering that question." Well, I don't blame her. I don't blame her. Nobody that does big crimes in this country goes to jail or prison. None of them. I mean, name me one big shot in the last 20 years that really got hammered. But this is too important an issue to sweep under the rug. It's not only we veteran intelligence professionals who are alarmed at what appears at best to be Clinton's carelessness and at worst her deliberate attempt to conduct her affairs in complete secrecy, avoiding the structure of, for example, the Freedom of Information Act, which can give people and historians access to public records in the future so they can understand how government decisions were made. Well, they just flip a fucking coin. So researchers who care about democracy care. Well, I don't care about democracy. I don't like democracy. I don't swear allegiance to democracy. None of our founding fathers or any of the good guys in our government ever did. It was sort of a republic run by the capitalists. Too bad it didn't stay a regular republic. It is also the FBI that cares, and the National Security Agency, which is responsible for ensuring secure communication cares. Well, why didn't they arrest her? They have arrest powers, and so do all who may have sent a sensitive piece of intelligence to her that she in turn might have put on her unclassified system. All of this is an insult to our intelligence. Americans at large were briefed on the potential national security implications. They too would care. Do they? No, I don't think so. Maybe 10% of the people give a shit about anything. One of the distinct advantages of the collegial way we operate in veteran intelligence professionals for sanity, VIPs, is that when, as now, one of us needs input from tried and true specialists, it is immediately at hand. So I consulted several of my colleagues with special knowledge on these matters. For technical commentary on this issue, I turned to a specialist VIPS colleague named William Binney, who worked for NASA for 36 years. Binney's co-founded NASA's Cygnet Signal Intelligence Automation Research Center and retired from NASA as a technical director. He said that's so he can get more money, get more retirement money. He said he shares my very strong feelings on this issue. He told me the following. Hillary Clinton is an asshole and a criminal. No, he didn't say that. Quote, "The email issue from Secretary Clinton is one of the most severe compromises of security I've ever known." Well, I've known quite a bit in the last 50 years. After all, if the Chinese, the Russians, and other hackers can penetrate the Office of Personnel Management servers and take the records of over 21 million U.S. citizens that over the years have applied for security clearances, then penetrating Hillary Clinton's private server would be a piece of cake. Such a penetration would yield insight into the decision-making at the highest level of the U.S. government, including what might be revealed in the emails with the president. Oh, he could do no wrong. This is worse than the compromise of predominantly lower-level data by Bradley, now Chelsea Manning. Oh, and gives insight into the planning of the highest levels in Washington, something that even all the torrent of data exposed by Edward Snowden could not provide. Reports that Clinton instructed subordinates to delete the security classification line on sensitive reports and email them to her suggest a total disregard for the need to protect classified information, and arrogance in deeming herself above lawful regulations governing the handling of data. Wow. Quote, as we might as well have had an in-place mole at the highest level of government. Well, you did. You did. It's the bitch. It's the bitch Clinton. She's the mole. Just like Angela Merkel's a mole over in Germany. Well, maybe not a mole, a rat. The FBI Department of Justice would have already indicted lesser officials for less. Of course. Certainly Clinton is receiving special treatment. Well, don't they always? It is a safe guess that the FBI investigators are seething over their inability so far to pursue the case against Hillary with vigor it merits. Well, why don't they do something about it? Why don't you do something about it, you chicken shit? You got the goods on her. Move. All of this is like a carnival. It's like a damn joke. Only it's a sick joke, but since the people don't give a shit, they deserve it. The case of General David Petraeus comes immediately to mind. There was macho seething at the FBI when Petraeus gave his girlfriend classified documents of extreme sensitivity, lied about it to the FBI investigators. That's supposed to give you an automatic 5 years in a federal clink, and was let off with a slap on his wrist, unquote. Yeah. Let's see here. With the aim of getting expert commentary from an operational perspective, I turned to Scott Ritter, who served on General Norman Schwarzkopf's staff during the first Gulf War before he became Chief UN Weapons Inspector for Iraq. Here's what Ritter had to say. I can say that NSA, JSOC, and even the UN team such as the one I was running in Iraq would love for a foreign official at the Secretary of State level to use a private server for official communications. One needs simply to mimic a cell tower and Stingray technology in vogue today would suffice. And you instantly have access to everything such as official dues, says, types on a cell phone. That senior official would no longer have the unique identifiers and encryption that an official server would provide. By the way, it is no longer a secret that we targeted the unencrypted communications that Saddam Hussein and his closest advisors sent out. Not just the encrypted ones. Any communications traffic analyst will tell you that simply reading the unclassified traffic provides a plethora of actionable intelligence, particularly since the communications intercepted are in real time. Oh. So what can happen in the field? In combat areas in places like Kabul, when regulations governing the handling of classified information are disregarded. For perspective on this, I turn to Matthew Ho, Marine captain in Iraq and later a senior State Department official in Afghanistan, and he answered, quote, ordinary Americans need to know how serious this is. Don't forget, boys, worse is better. Just last week, we witnessed one example of what could have happened when Secretary of State John Kerry was visiting Kabul and the Taliban tried to attack him with rockets. I could see Kerry running for his life. That'd be funny. See, whenever the President, Vice President, and Secretary of State or Defense, Joint Chiefs of Chairman, or a congressional delegation visits Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, or Iraq, the planning and arrangements are secret. But this is the type of information that could be sent all over Clinton's personal email, hacked and gotten a senior American official killed. Well, in Libya, it did get a senior official killed, the ambassador. Another example would be Clinton's discussing information relating to intercepts of foreign leaders. It's possible in her correspondence she could mention something regarding Putin, Cameron, Modi, et al., and we capture via Signet. That would not only be embarrassment, it would blow the capacity of such access and squander millions of dollars spent in creating it. Fortunately for the other world leaders, they don't seem to have been as arrogant or dumb or both of the above in insisting on using non-secure communication. Quote, was it not amazing that Clinton protege, Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs, Victoria Nuland, remember her? The one that fucked us up Kiev. Screwed us up over there in Ukraine, that's it. She's the one that blew that shit. Was it not amazing? Plotted the February 22 coup in Ukraine with the U.S. ambassador in Kiev on an insecure telephone. Wonder where Nuland got that idea that was all right. Could it have been Mrs. Clinton? Quote, only transmitting and sharing classified information via email through the secure email and internet system used by the U.S. government also prevents accidental transmission of secret information to people who should not receive secret information. I don't believe this should be secret information. There's too much resting on it. If it was all out in the open, people wouldn't be doing the bullshit they're doing. That's my opinion. Does that make me an extreme radical libertarian? That makes me an extreme anarchist, baby. Aryan anarchist. It's a closed system. Only those with the approved clearance and an authorized email account can receive the email, so you can't accidentally type in the wrong name of a contact who is not trusted. Well, I don't trust anybody in Washington. I don't trust anybody in the Pentagon. So, is not a U.S. citizen, does not have a security clearance, and send them an email with classified information. You see, what you don't realize is every piece of paper that comes into Washington or these bureaus is immediately stamped national security. there is no paper that comes in at all that's not stamped security. Quote, we've all done that with our email, typed in the wrong name and sent someone an email by accident. Or we've forwarded an email string with a chain of information somewhere down the body of the message that we didn't want the recipient to see. Well, shouldn't be talking about it. By transmitting classified information via her personal email account, Hillary Clinton, the bitch, could have very easily sent classified information to someone by accident. Of course, as everyone who uses email knows, once you send a message, you have no control over where that message gets sent after you hit send. Duh. So once she forwarded an email with classified information, that information could be sent to anyone, anywhere in the world, whether on purpose or by accident. She's stupid. Hillary Clinton is stupid. She's always been stupid. She knows how to make money, and she knows how to get the Chinese to donate to her campaign and stuff like that. But basically, she's stupid. That's why you don't transmit classified information outside a secure system. Another question. What information regarding her dealings outside her official capacities may have been targeted? What I mean is, besides the U.S. government secrets that she possibly exposed were Clinton's own secrets, perhaps a quid pro quo or two regarding foreign donations to the Clinton foundations, such as China. such information could be used against her as political blackmail. What information could have been captured by a foreign power that could be used if and when Hillary Clinton came to office as president to gain leverage over her? Well, all of this shit could. Unfortunately, if she wins the election, her first priority will be re-election. So my concern is not just for information that she could have compromised as Secretary of State that would have harmed the U.S. from 2009 to 2013, but what information has been compromised that could be used against her as blackmail if she's in the Oval Office? Wow. So when Senator Sanders is right or not, that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails, Hillary Clinton's carelessness and entitlement in brushing aside the lawful security rules that apply to other government officials, is an issue that bears on whether she has the character and judgment to be president. Well, since none of them have any character and judgment to be president, I think we should eliminate the office of presidency. Can you imagine this Kristen Cruz being in there? God almighty. I think he scares me more than she does. In December 2011, when then Secretary of State Clinton was busy denouncing Private Bradley, now Chelsea Manning, for leaking evidence of the U.S. government wrongdoing, Clinton declared, quote, "I think that in an age where so much information is flying through cyberspace, we all have to be aware of the fact that some information, which is sensitive, which does affect the security of individuals and relationships, deserves to be protected. And we will continue to take necessary steps to do so." We're going to get that son of a bitch. I don't care if he's a girl or a guy. We're going to get him. For leaking mostly low-level classified information to the public so that people could know about illegal or questionable acts of the government. None of the data, top secret, the level that some Clinton emails have now been stamped, Manning was sentenced to 35 years in prison. Wait a minute. Manning gets 35 years in prison and she becomes president. How does that work? But it seems that the applicable legal standard, or double standard, is that more sensitive security breaches and higher the status of the offender, the lighter the punishment. Yeah, I've always said that. You kill a million people, you're a hero and the head of the country. Kill one person, 100 years without parole. General David Petraeus divulges top secret code word information to his whore mistress and lied to the FBI about it. He didn't get 5 years either, but received only a misdemeanor citation. Can you believe that? That's what I got in California, a misdemeanor citation, and a fine, probation, and no jail time for mishandling classified material. You see, the whole idea of this country and the democracy and all that stuff was gone a long time ago, if it ever existed. It's all been bullshit. The powerful do what they want, and the plebs and the peasants follow orders. And the orders they follow is they don't care. They don't give a shit. Just leave me alone and let me drink my beer, watch television, and go to Rome, Georgia, and pretend I'm a white patriot. If that pattern is followed, and since Secretary of State Clinton outranked General Petraeus, she might as well expect even more lenient treatment, for her behavior might be something that the American voters would want to consider before giving her a promotion to U.S. president. To the person who wrote this, they don't care. They want to talk about bullshit. This guy that wrote this is a co-founder of Veterans Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, VIPS. He was an Army Infantry Intelligence Officer and then a CIA analyst for a total of 30 years. Well, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing going to solve this but bloodletting, baby. I'm sorry. Oh, I know, FBI, you listen to that, yeah. But that's the truth. That's the whole natural truth. Nothing's going to come to any change in this country without extreme action. But we're not going to start it off because we know how that would work. Just pray for worse is better. Let it crumble. Let it come down. Hallelujah. Let it fall. Let it fall.
You have a steadiness about you, and I believe in you, but let it come soon, and you must be smarter than your enemy. What are you trying to say? The Americans, they're very smart, but sometimes they can be incredibly stupid. They spend all this money and time and energy on the so-called war on terror. They put satellites up in space. They can ram a smart bomb up a camel's ass from a situation room 5,000 miles away. But every time the U.S. kills an Al-Qaeda leader, what happens? There's a new one before the body's cold. You do it a million times. They never get it because the real solution always eludes them. What is it?
There's something else that is said after a death, but this one involves belief, which is where I begin to have big problems. This one happens after the funeral, after the burial, back at the house. Back at the house where the family and friends and the loved ones of the deceased are having some food and drink, and you're enjoying some warm reminiscences of the person who passed away. Sooner or later, someone is bound to say the following, especially after a few drinks. You know, I think he's up there now, smiling down at us. And I think he's pleased. Now, first of all, there is no up there. No. For people to be smiling down from. It's poetic, it's quaint. And I guess for superstitious people, it provides a little comfort, but it doesn't exist. But if it did, and if someone did somehow survive death in a non-physical form, I personally think he'd be far too busy with other celestial activities than to be standing around paradise, smiling down. On live people. What kind of a fucking eternity is that? And why is it no one ever says, I think he's down there now, smiling up at us? Apparently it never occurs to people that their loved ones might be in hell. Your parents could be in hell right now. Your parents in hell. Your father for sure.
I'm not going to read this whole article, but it's about a trial going on down in Australia about some guys who took hostages in a restaurant, and there was a shootout, and a couple of the hostages, I guess, got killed, and then they stormed the place and killed the people who took the hostages. I have no idea who these people were, but this is what's important. He said four officers first called to the Martin place would be giving evidence over the next few days, but after that, in court, the police wanted some of the hearings to be closed. there has arisen an issue about the degree to which some aspects of the evidence have to be dealt with, he said. Okay. There seems to be a general acceptance that police adopt policies to deal with violence and possible terrorist activity that must be kept secret. Okay. Quote, we know, for example, there are lone wolves like Muniz. This is one of the guys who took the hostages. And there are others who aren't lone wolves. Quote, they work in groups that function with a greater capacity degree of planning than was demonstrated by Muniz. Mr. Gormley said that the inquest was already using pseudonyms for some of the officers who attended the siege, but there was disagreement around making the events of the siege public while protecting police methodologies. The coroner will next week hear further arguments about keeping some of the police evidence in closed hearings. You're going to see more and more of this as there are all kinds of groups all over the world infiltrating and becoming even cops. So, they got a big problem on their hand. But this one guy may have been a lone wolf, but these other people, they were working in a group. I mean, you know, can't keep all this shit straight. All I know is the cops will say, everything is secret. From now on, everything is secret. We ain't talking about nothing. You're not even going to get it in other than a closed court.
Every piece of this is man's bullshit. They call this war a cloud over the land, but they made the weather, and then they stand in the rain and say, shit, it's raining!
Well, that's it, boys and girls. I'm surprised you can take all this bullshit. Oh, man. You know, what drives me crazy is the public out there who believe most of this bullshit that the government says. They say they don't, but you try to tell them something different, and they'll refer to believing the government and the press every time. So get out of their way. Stay out of their way. They're crazy.